September 6th full board 6:30 meeting to order at 6:30. Second item is Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Commissioner Brown.
Here.
Carabelli.
Present.
Duje.
Still here.
Flynn.
Here.
Kleinfeld.
Here.
Marino.
Here.
Myjack. Miller.
Here.
Sabatini.
Here.
Sauger.
Here.
Smith.
Got me at the right time.
Toco.
Here.
Vosburgh.
Here.
Thank you. Adoption of the agenda. We'll take off the approval of minutes on August 18th. I think there's a clerical mix-up, and we'll fix that for Thursday. With that taken away, I need a motion support. Moved by Carabelli, supported by Marino. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The agenda is so adopted. Public participation. Any members of the public wishing to speak, they have 5 minutes. Please direct your comments in regards to the agenda items, and please state your name and your address.
Can you hear me? My name is Joseph Hunt. I live at 8306 Stanley, owner and taxpayer in the city of Warren, also a taxpayer in the county of Macomb. One of the reasons I'm here this evening is because this is the budget season, and I'm always interested in exactly where my tax dollars are going. I was surprised over the weekend. I was looking on the website under the agenda, and it kept saying, please come back soon. And I was sort of surprised to find out that there really wasn't an agenda online for today's meeting. I did end up going through the website and found over in the finance department the proposed budget, so I did read a few things over the weekend regarding the proposed 2017 budget. I do want to point out that specifically I do come to these meetings so I can actually get the paper packets. I've been saving them up for years, and this is a very nice presentation because what I was looking at the very back, it was all of the different wages that each of the individual departments and units offer to its employees. And I noticed that there's like this salary range where all of a sudden, like hypothetically, you know, something can range anywhere between $57,000 and $77,000. And I'm very curious if the Board of Commissioners gets individual packets for each of the groups that come in the subcommittees, such as the departments, as to exactly what the wages are for each of the individuals within those departments. The reason I'm looking at the numbers is because earlier this year, I had done several Freedom of Information Act requests to the County of Macomb, and I'm very surprised still that the County of Macomb does not have a means through its website to submit a Freedom of Information Act request and have that electronically. Each time that I've submitted a request, it's either been through email or hand-delivering it over to the corporate council. And I always believe that basically an open and transparent government like the use of the Open Meetings Act and the Freedom of Information Act keeps the informed government informed. But I was very surprised because when I did ask for the Department of Public Works, as you know, during that office earlier this year, was not reported. But I was very curious on exactly how many people work for the Public Works Department. And I was able to actually ask for the names, the classifications, the hire date, and the gross wages of the 55 people that work for that department. And I ended up getting 3 pages. And when I asked for specifically a breakdown of several other elected departments, that I was told by the corporate council that the those departments did not have component department breakdowns. And I was given 54 pages to sort through. The only way that I was able to actually decipher exactly what last year's or the 2015 gross wages were for the departments that I was interested in is by going to the portion of the website that actually has the ethics signatures of all the individuals arranged by department, and then be able to figure out how many people work in that department, who are the individuals, cross-reference them to the sheet. Needless to say, I'm sort of disappointed with the county's FOIA policy. I've been denied on several things. Some things I've waited more than the 10 business days, and I'm really surprised because I can send a letter to Florida and it gets there in 2 days. But when the council sends something from Mount Clemens to Warren, it takes 3 days. So I think that really the information that I'm looking for is more information from my open and transparent government. Over on the finance side, I do know that the quarterly reports, they haven't been updated since June of 2014. And of course, I can rifle through the finance packets, but that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a complete report. And of course, with the salaries, that sort of stopped in 2012. I don't know if it was because the EBIT program, the governor was no longer concerned about it. Everybody was open and transparent with EBIT, but I would like to see all of these financial reports on the finance site, and more so, you know, because we're in budget season, to actually get some real good information to outside feel warm and fuzzy regarding the county government. But like I say, I think that you should spend some money to update the FOIA, online FOIAs for you people like myself who like to inquire with government exactly what's taking place. But I'll leave it at that for now. Thank you.
Any other members of the public wishing to speak? You have 5 minutes. Please state your name and your address.
I am concerned just as a citizen first. So can I make a phone call or try to search for information? It's not right. It makes me frustrated when information that I find other communities in other areas, I make the same phone call. They're more courteous and they have the answer and they email me the information the same day. And I find we're lacking that in the whole county. And I just feel in the future we can do better. And I like to make suggestions. I would like to email you guys some information research. There's a good site called Open Government. And it tells some really interesting stories how Ohio State was like ranked number 54 for transparency in government. It's number one now because this particular site really gave good information how to do transparency better and make us citizens feel comfortable about this wonderful budget. And if I did a survey, I could prove that probably over 75% of people don't understand it. That's how complicated it is in their minds. You would really have to have some kind of talk in class or have a friend who understands it. Or research it like I'm doing. And these experts tell me what categories to look for, how to actually read these papers. And one of the things that is talked about is the worksheet. Now the worksheet is not public information that's put in the packet, but it's information that you guys work with. And if verifies the figures that's printed in this packet. So as a citizen, when I read it in 2016 budget, I go, wow, what are these worksheets? How easy are they to attend them? Just to read them and to verify this one number that's printed in this booklet that has a report to say that this total supports this. It's pretty, it's nice. I have to go to an expert to understand some of the really important facts. And it should be simple. I think there's a surplus. Overpayment that's not put in the budget, clear enough. And where does that money go if it's not spent? Go back into revenue fund. But it's not, I don't know. So, you keep on holding this money and it accumulates. So when you look at last year's budget and you're comparing and following these figures, sometimes I just see the paperwork not in a balance. So that's another report that you guys can just look at, is where is that balance of expenditure? Zero. Some states now are showing zero in finances and it balances. And then you start over. But when you keep these revenues accumulating, and money stays there, eventually it's everybody's money. And we have no accountability in turning the money back. So it's our money in theory. But once the theory goes to your finances and to the economy, we have this theory project. And then there's a deficit. How do we compare the deficit with the revenue? And if last year had good revenue, and this year the deficit, where does that deficit come from? I don't understand that financial report that's missing. It's not clear. But if it's in here, I'll find it. I'll find somebody that can tell me where it's located. That's my concern as a citizen. I think the summaries, the written things are nice, but to get that principal surplus, what we spend.
30 seconds.
The third item to show the balance. And if we're in the good, then we might be. And how do we get out?
Thank you. Any other members of the public wishing to speak? Going once, going twice, going three times, public participation is closed. The next item is approve the hiring of Kareem Bedard, retiree, to serve in the role of part-time temporary administrative secretary, which is currently vacant due to the employee maternity leave, to provide general BOC office assistance starting September 7th until the position is no longer vacant or for a period of time not to exceed 90 days. And if there's a support, motion and support, I'll speak to it. Moved by Vosburgh, supported by Sauger. I brought this up to the commission's attention on August 18th. I've kind of kept the board posted in regards to the situation that we're having in terms of staff turnover. This is my board chair budget recommendation. People could go to that quickly. It'll give a good glimpse in terms of the staff changeover. Chief of Staff Patty Gibb is still here, obviously. Director of Legislative Affairs was vacant in August. Legislative Assistant Mike Keyes started on August 1st. Oh, I thought this was on your desk. I apologize.
No, don't stop. We're getting it.
I apologize. Everybody has it now? So, Patty Gibb, Chief of Staff, Director of Legislative Affairs, has been vacant since August 12th. Legislative Assistant Mike Keyes started on August 1st, which was Kareem's old position that we changed up a bit. Administrative Secretary Laura Murphy is still on maternity leave. Communications Coordinator, that position is vacant due to illness. Special Projects Coordinator is also vacant. And so the reason behind that is we're going into budget season, which is the most onerous in terms of time, energy, analysis for this board. And that's why I'm making this recommendation that the commission please approve this for a time period not to exceed 90 days. And technically, per the charter, it says the same position, which she is not going to do the same position because that's been taken over by Michael. But I thought that it was appropriate to bring it to this board for approval. Any discussion? Commissioner Duce?
Question. I have no problems with this because I know we need some help. Is there a reason why you went with 90 days?
I feel like within 90-day time period, we can get through the budget season and post that position and actually bring somebody on board.
Okay.
And I've always felt that these should not be indefinite, that we shouldn't bring people back for no specific reason or time it that way. But I've always said under certain circumstances with a limited time frame that I think it's appropriate.
Would you be more comfortable with 120 versus 90?
It can be renewed.
I mean,
if we need to extend it, that can be. But I feel comfortable with 90.
Okay. How much longer is Laura going to be out, or is that indefinite?
That's indefinite. We're having discussions with her. I know she's on maternity leave, and we're looking to maybe put her in the part-time position. I don't believe she has the intent to come back at this time in that full-time capacity.
Oh, okay. And I hope everybody, the communications coordinator, is she out of the hospital?
She is still currently. I'm not going to probably reveal that publicly.
Okay.
But I can have offline conversations.
Fair enough.
And keep the commissioners posted as we have through email.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Any other discussion, Commissioner Brown?
No. knowing Karina as well as I do, she probably wants to come back for another 20 years. So why don't we just extend it?
She does not. We really had to press her to do this. So, any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes unanimously. Thank you, commissioners. And now into the budget presentation, which is the introduction of the fiscal year 2017 budget. We received this on Thursday afternoon. We printed these copies today for commissioners and put them in the booklet. It just been notified that we did send this to the clerk to post this on the website, but apparently because of maintenance issues and the IT department has locked or frozen departments out of that, so somehow we're going to have to figure out some remedy to address that so we can post these and people have the ability to see them. But this is the first time that came to my knowledge today. So with that, I know that we have a handout for the presentation from the finance department. And so Steve, are there any questions before Steve starts the presentation? Seeing none, Steve, the floor is yours.
Good morning, or good afternoon, good evening, commissioners.
Good night.
We'll give a high-level overview of the 2017 budget. The total spending plan is $733.7 million, which is about a 2.4% increase over the 2016 amended budget. The general fund has a budget of $242.1, which is about a 3.6% increase. We'll talk about that in a future slide. We added 88.4 positions to the budget in 2017. 58.2 of those are at Martha Teaberry. So, as you know, there's an interim administrator at Martha Teaberry. They're going through some in-house restructuring, more or less, where they were trying to add staff and reduce their reliance on contingent part-time and agency staff. So, Mr. Evans will talk about that in a lot more detail when he does his budget period. Through all of these moves, this 88.4, as we'll see in just a little bit, includes the 10 positions for the two new judges that are coming on board in 2017. So each judge has a support staff of four. So there's five total, including the judge. There are two of them that make the 10. It also includes some grant-funded positions, about 12 positions at the roads, which are all funded through road funding. At the end of the day, there were 4.2 positions added to the general fund at a cost to the general fund of about $251,000. The budget also includes a 2% assumption for property tax increases, 2% across the board wage increase for 2017, and 4% healthcare inflation. We'll see in a little bit that it also includes a drawdown of about $22 million of the fund balance of the general fund. But most of that, almost entirely it, $26 million of that is for funding the capital plan. So it's important to know, if you kind of try to separate the budget into two pieces, it's structurally balanced, as I like to refer to it, meaning that the existing revenues cover the operating expenses. And so we do have these high capital contributions for the next two or three years to get caught up on funding the capital plan. So I'll move on to...
real quick, Steve, before we move on from that slide, if I could, Mr. Chairman. Back on that slide, to state the obvious, but I want to just make it clear for everybody here, no one's proposing a 2% property tax increase. We're talking about an increase of 2% in our projected revenues from property tax, right?
Correct. True. But we do have property tax reform to talk about, but yeah, we're talking about a 2% increase in the tax revenue.
The tax revenue, but not
that's on taxes.
That's not what it says there, but I want to maybe it's understood by everybody here, but I want to just make crystal clear to everybody who might be listening or whatever that nobody's proposing a 2% property tax increase.
Right, 2% in property value.
And contrary to what the
which corresponds to
revenue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Slide number three is simply a listing of the budgeted expenditures by fund. And so this is a component, or gives you the components of $733 million. There are very significant pieces in here, the general fund, the roads, and community mental health being the three largest. And if you just turn to slide four, there's a pie graph that shows that actually of the $733 million, everybody thinks of the general fund as the primary operating fund of the county, which it is, in terms of tax revenues and other things of that nature, but it's only 33% of the total budget. Roads makes up 16%. Mental health is roughly the size of the general fund. It's about $200 million. And then all of the other funds on the previous page, all of our other, refer to them as special revenue funds, the grant funds, if you will, child care funds, friendly court, health grants, community action, and so on and so forth, comprise 23% of the budget. If we move on to slide five, this is a breakdown by department of the 88.4 positions, excuse me. And you'll see this is separated into two sections. The upper section will display for you the number of positions added by department, the value of those positions, including all the associated current benefits, and then to the right side of the schedule is an allocation of how much of those costs are being borne by the general fund versus being covered by other sources, which is basically other revenue, but in the case of the sheriff and corporation council, it's offsets in other expenditure areas. We'll touch on that just a little bit. Down below, that breaks the 88 down between the 10 new judges. There's 74 positions for a total of almost $4.2 million, which are completely funded by outside revenues. So that would be roads and Mark Teaberry are a huge portion of that, and mental health for that matter. There are two positions that were added that are offset by corresponding cost reductions. One is in the sheriff's department. We're recommending that we add a deputy to reduce overtime. And the cost of a new deputy is a lot less expensive than funding overtime of a senior deputy because of the lower contribution for the defined contribution plan and the elimination of retiree health care for new hires. The other position is in corporation counsel. Mr. Schaff is requesting that we add an attorney in his office to handle in-house litigation, grievances, arbitrations, and thereby reducing the reliance on outside counsel. So the offset to that is a lower internal service charge back from the liability insurance fund. There's a corresponding decrease. So that's a wash. That's a net savings or a net cost of zero for the general fund. And then a net of 2.2 other positions requested by all the departments that are being funded by the general fund. So the net cost to the general fund, again, is about $251,000 by adding all of those positions. Moving on to slide six, we're kind of moving into the general fund at this point. So we talked about a 2% increase in property tax revenue. So that's prior to the impact of personal property tax reform. So you might be aware the state has eliminated personal property on basically industrial personal property to replace it with an essential services tax against that property. And the state is telling us at this point that we're going to be made whole on the loss, if you will. So there was about $761 million of taxable value on personal property that was eliminated from the tax rolls. That's about $3.5 million in base tax in the general fund. The reason I'm highlighting this is because I'm saying that we built in a 2% increase in property tax revenue. If you look at that line item, it's actually a decrease of 1.6. So that is on those two or three slides later. So there was a decrease in property tax revenue, but there's a large increase in intergovernmental, which is state and federal money. The net of those two is a 2% increase in the net revenue related to property tax. We'll move on to page seven.
Just a quick question. Commissioner Majek, I'll have points of information, and then we'll hold the questions to the end.
When are you expecting the state to send the money back to the county?
September, October, we had to file the form with them showing how much of our taxes are utilized by essential services. state's indicating that they believe they're going to have enough collections of essential services tax to cover everybody's loss 100%.
Okay, so every September around now,
in the fall,
in every year,
right,
we will know from the state whether we will be whole or not.
Right,
so this year, if we're good, great. We'll look forward to next year at that time period.
And then I kind of know, because you know, the amount of the loss, if you will, is dependent on which taxpayers file exemptions with the state. This is the first year of it.
Right,
so
right. It's going to be lower now, it'll be more as time goes on.
Exactly.
Thank you, Chair.
Again, slide 7, you get again, this 2% across the board wage increase, 4% health care inflation. We talked about the addition of the judges. Talked about 4.2 positions, and we have a $26 million contribution to the capital plan, which we'll talk about in future budget hearings. That was built in to our forecast last year. So again, I kind of want to highlight again that the balance, from my perspective, is structurally balanced. The budget is structurally balanced. You look at revenues over operating expenses. We'll talk about that in another slide. Slide 8, we talk about this almost every year, and this is the effects of Proposition A. So this is where the rate of property tax increased values can only go up by the lower of 5% of the rate of inflation. The state publishes that rate of inflation every year. What this graph is trying to depict is that at 2% growth every year from here on out, it will take until 2026 to get back to where our property values were in 2008. So we lost about 27% in the bad years, 2008, 9, 10, 11. And so your property value, the assessed value or market value of your house or property in general, may go up 6 or 7 or 8%, but we can only increase our revenues by the lower of 5 or inflation. So for 2015, I think it was 0.3% plus, so we had extra growth to get us to our 2%. That's the lowest I've seen the inflationary increase in quite a long time. It's usually a point and a half or 1.6, 1.7. Move on to slide 9. This is a condensed version, I guess, of the general fund. I'll call it that. You can see that property tax revenue, that line item is going down 1.6% or about $2 million, but the intergovernmental is going up 4.7%. About 3.5% of that is related to the personal property tax. Overall, revenues are projected to increase 2.1%. Down below is a schedule of the expenses, about a 3.6% increase in total expenses. You'll see that actually, if you combined operating, contract services, internal services, capital outlay, and all the transfers, there's actually a decrease of about $1 million or $1.1 million in that, you know, operating. I'll call it operating expenses. The large increases are in salary and benefits, of course. So you'll see that wages are increased about 5% and include 2% across the board increase. It includes the new positions, the new judges. And I mentioned a week or two ago when I was here before you presenting the quarterly report, we lowered our turnover factor from 7% to 6%. That's 1% of payroll, so that's about a little over $1 million of benefits. Combine all those things together and you come up with your 5% increase in wages. You've got benefit increases that are, you know, contributing to about 11%, almost 12% increase. And then down below, down here, is where we talk about being structurally balanced. So if you look at the 17 recommended budget, we have about a $3.7 million surplus from ongoing operations, but of course we're funding the capital plan. And I'll probably start to sound like a broken record to a degree, but that gets you to your $22 million loss for the year or drawdown on fund balance. There's a slide in the back of this presentation on the 10-year forecast that kind of molds all this together to see where we're headed in the countries. The next two slides are simply pie graphs. This is a pie graph depicting the revenues in the general fund by source, so about a little over 50% of the revenues come from property taxes, another 16% come from state and federal sources, charges for services, fees, and those sorts of things account for about 19, with a little bit in fines and transfers in and indirect cost allocation. Slide 11, that's a breakdown of the expenses. You'll see about 55% of the expenses of the general fund are in salaries and benefits. About 11% is in capital improvements, 12% is in normal operating expenses, and about 12% is in what I call support of other funds, which is the contribution to all the grant funds, more or less. This ties in to a different slide. I'll get to that in a minute, which is the next slide. So if you go back to, if you flip back to slide 9, so you'll see on slide 9 that I've broken down the transfers out into how much we provide the debt service fund, the $26 million from the capital improvement fund, and this $29,766,000 in support for other funds. If we then turn to slide 12, I just thought this was more interesting information. The $29 million is the general fund match on $464 million of programs. So, and that's, and a lot of, some of these are mandatory. The child care fund, we have to have a juvenile detention center, friend of the court, we have to have a friend of the court. We have a match on substance abuse and mental health. There are some discretionary dollars in here, but I just think it's interesting to note that for $30 million, close to $30 million in general fund money, we provide $464 million for services. So it's more informational than anything else. So if we go then to slide 13, this is where we get into the end year forecast. A little small, but we started 2017. Our assumptions, again, are a 2% increase in property tax revenue, a 2% wage increase. In 2017, 1.5% raises. In 2018 and every year thereafter, 4% healthcare inflation every year, a 6% turnover factor. And historically, you've heard me talk about this, we've discussed it before. It's not unusual, it's almost common every year that the departments, to their credit, do not spend 100% of their money. And so we lapse about $3.5 million of operating expenses every year. So you build them into the budget for worst case scenario, but the departments are very, very diligent about spending their money wisely and not spending every penny of it. So we built in a $3.5 million savings, if you will, on budgeted operating expenses every year. And you'll see that we dropped down to a low of about 11% of fund balance. And we've talked many times that the industry standard is somewhere between 10 and 15. We would like to be near 20. What's driving this low are two things. One, the capital projects, if you will, funding of the capital plan. And if you run the wages out at 1.5%, and that's kind of, so those two things in combination, I will say. So at the end, 2026, in 10 years, we will be, if according to the assumptions, we'd be at about $32 million of fund balance, and that'd be about 13% of expenses. Again, noting that every year is structurally balanced, but we do have these capital needs. So we're close to the 15, we're not really where we want to be. At the 20. So we need to kind of monitor that closely and, you know, really look at the capital plan and fund what are the absolute necessities in that plan. We talk about it later during the budget hearings. There are a lot of things in that plan. So slide 14, of course, we've talked about this before as well. The bond rating agencies consider the fund balance of the delinquent tax revolving fund and the general fund together in terms of our liquidity and our fund balance position. And they like that fee at 75% of expenditures or higher. They've indicated, or at least Standard & Poor's has indicated in the past, that if we drop down below 75, it might lead to a downgrade. They didn't say it would. It all depends on what your plans are to correct, you know, to address your needs in the future. So that 75% is a target. We go to 15. The fund balance of the delinquent tax revolving fund is just shy of $120 million. At the end of 2015, that's an audited number. It makes an $8 million contribution to the general fund every year, starting in 16, going forward. We have that built into the forecast every year. The delinquencies have come down significantly in the last 3 or 4 years, but they're still about $45 million a year. My office is thinking that that would be sufficient. The interest and fees, the penalties on that money, would be sufficient to cover the $8 million plus, generate about $1 million surplus in the delinquent tax revolving fund. If that all holds true, the last slide in the presentation shows you where our combined fund balance position is for each of the next 10 years. And we drop below the 75 in year one. We're just below about 74. And then we drop down to about 72. We end up leveling off at about 65%, which isn't horribly bad. It's below, I think, where the rating agencies really like us to be, but as long as we level out, it's not horribly bad, but we should do whatever we can do to strive to get back to 75%. I think if we do that and we address our capital needs, then we're in pretty good shape. As we mentioned, I think at the last finance committee, the delegation of us that went to meet with rating agencies in June, and we didn't get a report from Standard & Poor's, but we did get one from Moody's, and they upheld our AA1 bond rating. So we're still in good shape there. So that concludes my remarks.
So with that, are there any questions in regards to the general budget overview? As commissioners know, the next 2 months will be filled with budget hearings, as they have existed for the past 4 years, where we're conducting performance-based budgeting, comparing against other counties in the state, and now we've even enhanced that and looked at some similar counties across the country that have the same level of budget, have same per capita income, similar Midwestern states. So as we go through the process, all the questions that commissioners have will be compiled, and we'll do our best to make sure that the appropriate departments, whether it's finance or the respective department or agency that's out here, will provide that information in a timely manner. And with that, open it up to questions or comments. Commissioner Bosco.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a couple of questions about these pages, Steve, that you just went over tonight. Page 7, the assumptions, and we have a 2% across the board wage increase, but those haven't been negotiated yet, have they?
No, they're still negotiating.
Right. And then the 4% health care inflation, when will we know what that amount is and what impact will that have?
The state will release the cap. You know, every year they release the cap for the next year. That should come out.
Okay,
it was 2.5% for 16. It could likely be 2.5% again for 17.
Okay, because I keep hearing the news about a lot of insurance companies don't want to insure anymore,
right.
Things like that, and I'm just wondering what the impact will be on our rate.
Our health care expense is about $24 million a year. So 1% of that's $230. So we have 4% increase built in here. If the cap comes in at 2.5, for example, then we have to adjust our plan design to, you know, so that the dollars meet the caps, or somehow get below that cap. But 1.5% of 24 million is $360.
Mm-hmm.
So But we don't have that built in yet. We don't know for sure what the number is going to be.
Okay. So the 2% wage increase, that also assumes 4% health care inflation? When we're thinking about what salaries and benefits would be, those were the two assumptions. If one number changes, will that, say if the health care goes up quite a bit, could the wage part be adjusted? Do you know?
I
know you might not be part of all of those discussions.
I suppose you can mix and match those sorts of things. I'm not intimately involved in the negotiating process.
And that's fine. I'm not either.
They're to some degree, they're independent of each other.
Right. So that could be a big, until we know what those are, that's going to be an impact. All right. And then we're talking about the capital improvement fund, but really, isn't that sort of a delayed repair? Our issues that we're dealing with right now, are we delayed repairing ordinary maintenance?
Delayed funding in prior years.
Right.
Is that where you're headed?
Right. So we delayed maintenance, and now we're doing repairs.
A lot
repairs.
Of those maintenance buildings are getting older. You'll see, we did distribute the capital plan, I think, on Friday. And in prior years, you'll notice there's a lot of things on heating and cooling and mechanical systems. Yeah. Not in the downtown area anymore, because that project's almost done, but it's Southeast Health, Majestic Center, we're cooling the older buildings. A lot of those mechanical systems, rooftop heating and cooling units, a lot of that is getting older.
Okay, but it just seems like there should be, instead of it becoming a big problem, if money is set aside, ideally, set money aside for those types of things.
We're in a catch-up period at this point in time. So we get to the catch-up period, which is the next 3 or 4 years, then is the plan, we've got $4 million going aside every year. I don't want to say basically brand new buildings, but you're going to have systems down here, newer buildings, or model buildings at least, to take care of the mechanical systems in the older buildings. It should be set for a number of years, and hopefully we're setting enough money aside.
Right.
So that 10 or 15 years down the road, we're not in the same dilemma we're in today.
Okay. And then pages 14, then that 75% that we're looking at, and you showed the graph on page 16, which we aren't at 75. So what chances do we have that perhaps our bond rating could go down as a result of that? Because we have a 10-year period where we go down.
Yeah, we level off again at 65% roughly. That Standard & Poor's was fairly adamant that if we got down below 75, we might likely get a downgrade.
So
Moody's hasn't really been there as strongly as Standard & Poor's, but Standard & Poor's is the more strict of the two agencies. But if we need to concentrate on the general fund. I mean, the tax fund is what it is. It kind of covers itself. It gives $8 million a year to the general fund, and it covers itself. It's the general fund, so it's either addressing things on the capital plan that are on there that are not necessarily critical. Most of the building things are critical, but there are some things that we could probably push off or not do for a number of years that have been built in. And then we've got to talk about the wages.
So, but when you show this, I'm hearing you saying that they were adamant about it being at 75%. So are you saying we might adjust some of that during the year so that
No, what I'm saying is we need to get the general fund back up to a position where we're closer to 75, between 70 and 75. Moody's is not as adamant about it as Standard & Poor's. So you can get a rating from either. And it all depends on what your plan is going forward. You can drop down below that 75%. As long as you have a solid plan to not go too much further or at least get back to that point going forward.
Mm-hmm. What kind of time range going forward?
Really haven't set.
Just something that's
not like 20 or 30 years. I mean, they want something
shorter term.
Okay. All right, thank you. And then, Mr. Chair, I have some other, I was looking at the budget book itself, the summary in the beginning. Is this appropriate to ask some questions about that or wait until we have budget hearings?
If it's in the summary, it's appropriate. If it's per department, we'll wait till those budget hearings.
No, it's not per department. It was just, I'll ask. If you think I'm needed to save it, I'll save it. On the budget book itself, there's page A1, the cover letter, it talks about the 90 days, the first paragraph, and being in compliance with the charter. There was a change, though, because we, in prior years, we did year ending September 30, and then the year, and then the calendar year. And that wasn't cited in there. It just seems to me it should be, just to be transparent, we should be citing that we change. This budget book does represent a change in that. So, I mean, in the end, it becomes the numbers, whether we did 3 months ahead of time and then 9 months later, it's still a 12-month period, but we are changing the way that we are.
In terms of changing the cycle?
Yeah.
We are. I guess we could put that in next year's letter.
It is what it is. But
yeah, I mean, we're in the process now of drafting language basically for more or less a continuation budget, for lack of a better term, for the September funds, so that they actually have an appropriation, or at least a temporary appropriation on October 1st, as we move through all the budget hearing process for them. So what we're going to recommend is basically a quarter of the 2016 amended, so that as we move through, and we can adjust that once the final budget for the entire county, including all funds, is adopted.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then I also, the third paragraph of that letter talks about we're structurally balanced without the use of a fund balance. I guess I would disagree, especially in light of the discussion about the capital improvements, and some of it being that we haven't been doing some repairs.
What that is we're not dipping in or utilizing fund balance to cover normal operations. Back to that.
Yeah, but I just want to throw out the argument. We kind of, some of that should be built into normal operations.
Some capital contributions? I'm not
following. If you're going to call it plain capital contributions, no. But it's some of it's just that we haven't been doing repairs and upkeep as we should. So.
Well, yeah.
I agree with you. Okay. And then on page, I think the others were just answered. I think the other questions you answered, so thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And a couple points. I believe we received the capital improvement plan today, and we clearly made a decision to put that off to an infrastructure and economic development or a finance meeting to spend the time that's appropriate to look at that, just as if we did any other big department in this county. Commissioner Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Steve, two questions. One's more of a clarification. On the bond rating, that only affects, like, say our bond rating got reduced. It doesn't affect anything that we've already bonded for, correct? It only affects any new bonds that we might go for. So the bond rating.
Or if we refinance, yes.
Or if we refinance, but obviously if we refinance at a lower rate or a higher rate, it might not be. But it doesn't affect anything that we've already
done. No, I mean, the rates are locked in on the existing bonds.
Okay. So just really the bond rating is kind of a. If we're going to borrow a large sum of money and our bond rating is lower, we might have a higher interest rate on borrowing, right? I mean, that's kind of
just a higher interest rate, but at the end of the day, you really don't want to downgrade.
I just want to understand the kind of ramifications of a bond rating.
It doesn't impact
anything.
It doesn't adjust the rates on the outstanding bonds.
That's fine. I just wanted for my own, maybe everybody else understands that. But on page 5, we were talking, and this is just one I just kind of caught my eye here. Corporation Council we're paying for a new person in Corporation Council by, you know, eliminating the need for outside counsel. But we're assuming that that elimination is going to be exactly $137,009, which is exactly, or are we?
We actually reduced it by more than that.
I was going to say, so did that come in as a potential, extra revenue or less expenses, so to speak?
Less expenses. As we go through,
and that's going to come in their budget.
Yeah, as we go through the departmental budgets, you'll see that in most cases, you'll see a decrease in the internal service line.
That's copy right there. Great. That's it. Thank you.
Commissioner Brown?
It was interesting to note that there's the internal government revenues are increased by 15%, though our local revenues are substantially different. Is there a way to break down where external funds are coming from? Are they coming from the state? Are they coming from the federal?
Well, most of the source. So you're on page 9, I assume?
Yes.
Yeah, so you'll see that 15.2% increase in intergovernmental. The short answer is yes. The longer answer is that line item went up by about $4.7 million. $3.5 million of that is this personal property or essential services tax reimbursement. So there's a big portion of it is the shift in personal property tax reform. But that we can break that down. We can break it down between all the sources, liquor tax, revenue sharing, court financing, federal revenue.
First, the court is or not, it's up to them, but I'm curious about that. And then that's all, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Just a quick point on page, the bonding page. I think commissioners also need to keep in context that the mass majority of counties in the state of Michigan bond for the revolving tax fund. We don't happen to be one of those. It's extremely frugal and ultra-conservative how that fund's been set up. But if it was absolutely necessary and made sense, you could bond just as pretty much most counties in the state
do.
And I believe the difference between an increase from like AAA to where we are now in terms of interest rates was...
It's not really that much.
0.05.
Yeah, it wasn't really that much.
Not that your goal is to ever do that, but I think we need to have that in context for this conversation. All right. Commissioner Brown?
Can you look on page 16, you showed the percentages of the general fund expenditures. We put a dollar amount in there to see what amount we would need to be at 75%. How much are we short in terms of dollar value? In terms of making the 75%, if that was our goal.
Yeah, I can do that. I mean, I don't want to fly up and handle everything.
No, I understand. But, sure.
I mean, we need to get another 10%, so we
just to give us a number to think about as we're going through.
Yeah, I mean, if you do quick math, you go up to 26, and we're basically 66%, so we need 9% more. And so I don't expect that the tax revolving fund would increase that much. So we need only 9% on the general fund.
Oh, we'd have to
be on. I don't even think that there.
Maybe we'd have to shrink the pie.
Commissioner Sabatini?
Steve, how do you get to that 9%? How do you make up 9%?
You either put things off the capital plan that aren't necessary. There's a lot of technology-related projects on there. The wage increase is a big number. We've got 1.5% built in and 18% going forward. You know, that's a big number. If you do some wage sensitivity testing, now maybe going to 1. You know, 1% of wages is about 1.2 million.
Didn't we have it at forecast originally was 2%?
How did it get to 1.5? No, it's been, even last year, it was 1.5 going forward. If you remember, I did a budget presentation last July, and then it came back in August with some revised assumptions. So we always had 2% built in for 17, but we had 1.5 built in going forward.
So what you're saying, though, that capital improvement plan of $4 million annually that you have starting in year 2022, you don't even know that could be $10 million. We're guessing at $4 million. This is an annual contribution.
Yeah, the idea is that over the next 4 or 5 years, we actually put in a significant amount of money into the capital plan to get everything up to where it should be. And then you're on a maintenance program, more or less.
Right, but what I'm trying to get at is, you said, you know, that's where we can save some money. So in 2022, that's a $4 million contribution to the capital improvement plan. If I look at the debt ratio in 2022, it's only $4 million. It's not going to make 10%. It's not going to be anywhere near.
No, it's putting things off on the plan today. There are things that are critical on there. There are things that folks have requested that potentially could be, you know, delayed.
Thank you.
And you could bond for it.
That's an option.
But like I was saying, if you bond for it at 3% on a municipal bond, but if you got downgraded and it only increases 0.05, it probably wouldn't be the best option to go for. Okay. Any other questions or comments in regards to the summary? Seeing none, we'll take a motion to receive and file.
So moved.
Moved by Toko, supported by Smith. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The item is received. Resolution establishing legislative priorities to guide the review and adoption of the fiscal year 2017 budget. This is very similar to the document that we adopted last year that basically puts things in perspective in regards to goals and priorities and values, and then we make sure that all the departments have that. So, motion by Smith, supported by Duje. Any discussion? This has been in the packet for the week. No. Would you like to hold off on it, Commissioner Brown, to read?
No, go ahead.
Seeing no, any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The item carries. Correspondence. News release dated August 27th. The kickoff to the budget season. Motion to receive and file. Moved by Carabelli. Supported by Marino. Any discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The item carries. New business. Any new business before the commission? Just so everybody knows, we have government operations that immediately follows this. And then tomorrow morning, we have Justice and Public Safety, as well as Health and Human Services, which most likely will not be a short meeting. And we sent that commissioners to make sure they set aside the time. Any other new business? Seeing none, public participation. Any members of the public wishing to speak? You have 5 minutes. Please state your name and your address.
Hi, everybody. My name is Joseph Pond, 830 Stanley, homeowner and taxpayer from the City of Warren. Interesting budget discussion. I'm curious, as a member of the public, if when the packet goes up on the website, if the presentation that you got in your packet will be available to the public, or if that's something that we can pick up over at the company board or the commissioner's office. What we're really looking at here is getting all the information that the board is getting. There's going to be a lot of attendance at these meetings, and though they'll get it. And I'm very curious at exactly whether or not any of the members of the public are going to have to fill out a freedom of information and ask requests for any engagement that we get for free. But I'll leave it at that.
Any other members of the public wishing to speak? The board cannot answer any questions at this point. However, you can always request after the meeting or send us an email for a question that you have, and we'll answer that.
Okay. So I filled up my form.
Yep. Please leave that with us, and we'll answer that.
If there's any, I did do a FOIA request in the 2016 budget, because in 2017 I put the IND in, by the way. It took a lot of patience to find it on the finance department. When I called, they were still working on it. know this technology glitches in the computer system sometimes, but I think overall, the system that when it's released, it's released in a tiny manner, because when it comes to these hearings, we just have to kind of have this information quickly look at it. This is a big guy. Sometimes it's really hard to call it by reading it.
The new one starts.
Members of the public wishing to speak. Once, twice, three times, public participation is closed. Motion adjourned by Dufay, supported by Miller. Any discussion?
Roll call.
I apologize. We'll do a roll call first.
Attendance roll call.
Attendance roll call.
Brown?
Yes.
Carabelli?
Present.
Dugy?
Sure.
Flynn? Kleinfeld? Got it. Marino? Myjack?
Here.
Miller?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Here.
Sauger? Smith?
Here.
Tocco?
Here.
Vosburgh?
Here.
I apologize. And we have a motion by Dugy and Miller. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Sheriff Community Corrections and Juvenile Justice Center. Ours is October 4th or 6th, so we lucked out that we have a whole month that they didn't have. Ours originally was going to be today, but it's been.